Well, this Sunday, tempting as it might be to go in all kinds of different places in Scripture, the Isaiah reading filled with joy and consolation, the Luke reading with some of my favorite characters, Simeon and Anna, are just really interesting people. Like, they're just really interesting. I can't wait to meet them. The text that I kept going back to, or coming back to, over and over again, was in Galatians, which isn't exactly where you think of when you think of Christmas. When I think of Galatians, I think of Paul breathing out threats and fury against the church from inside the church this time, which is sort of the way it is. Some of Paul's most extravagant, bordering on intemperate language is found in Galatians. So it's an interesting text. But as I said, I kept coming back to it, and I looked at the others, and I realized that one of the things that we take from Galatians is where the sermon title comes from, not just one child. And Christmas is all about the celebration of the birth of Jesus. It's a birthday party, if you will. It's an opportunity to remember that he came, to enjoy the giving and receiving of gifts this time around. Unlike most birthday parties, you don't just give gifts in one direction. They go in both directions. All kinds of other wonderful things happen at Christmas. But I kept coming back to, what does this mean? Or what does this mean that perhaps I haven't thought of quite the same way I have in the past? And something new struck me about the incarnation this year. The incarnation is one of the mysteries of the faith that we've talked about frequently. It's slightly different than some of the other mysteries we've talked about. I mean, there's the mystery of eternity, which is something we'll never understand because, well, there's always a time when we weren't, so we can't understand eternity. There's the mystery of the Trinity, which we will never understand, at least not, you know, fully understand. We can have some intellectual discussions about it. We can say what it is, but we don't have the sort of visceral understanding of it. But the incarnation is just a little bit different. Because when Jesus came and was fully human and fully divine, we understand at least part of that, because we're fully human. We're not divine at all. Let's not go down that particular heretical road. It's really tedious and doesn't do you any good in the long run. But we're fully human, so we understand that part. We have a connection with the incarnation in a way that we don't have perhaps the same kind of connection with some of the other mysteries of what we believe. And I started thinking about that from the perspective of not just one child at Christmas. And first of all, this is not to say that Jesus was a twin. He was not a twin. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about Mary's other children. I'm talking about God's other children. And what Paul talks about in Galatians and in lots of other places is he talks about how Jesus coming inaugurated a new way of relating to God. Now, God has always related to people. Even in the Old Testament, it was different, but he was relating to human beings. He wasn't relating to institutions. He didn't relate just to the people of Israel. He also related to the people who made up the people of Israel. But with the coming of Jesus, there was something new. Jesus came, and by willingly giving up the prerogatives of divinity, without giving up divinity itself, that's another part of the mystery that we don't really get, but we accept it because that's what the Bible tells us, and took on full humanity so he could understand everything that we go through from the inside. Because Jesus had the same experience that we all do. Not identical. It's not an identical experience. Jesus never had to fight traffic the way we do. Never had to worry about accidentally clicking on the wrong link on a web page and being taken to images that you can't unsee. His experience of being human wasn't identical to ours any more than my experience of being human is identical to any of yours. But it was the same, because he experienced the same things that all human beings do. And with that, he gives unmistakable evidence of God's ability to understand what we're going through. Of course God could understand before. There's nothing hidden from God. The incarnation wasn't to open a window into human beings that God needed. The incarnation was for us. Because when we realize that Jesus was fully human, it wasn't just that he became like us. We became like him in his humanness. And that reversal, which is obvious, is something that never really struck me until this year. That the incarnation, the human side of the incarnation, is a two-way street. It's not just that Jesus came and experienced life as we have and became human as we are, but we now know what Jesus went through. And this may not be news to anyone but me, but it struck me in a different way, and I'm not sure why it did this year. It could be the arrival of a grandson. I don't know. It seems to have changed everything else about me. I don't know why it should leave any of my theology out. But what Paul tells us is that when Jesus came, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, just like us, to redeem those under the law so that we might receive the full rights of children. When Jesus came, he opened up a way for us to be connected with God that wasn't there before. We don't see the same kind of language of God relating to his people in the Old Testament, at least not as often as we see it in the New Testament. When Paul says something like, we might receive the full rights of children, we need to remember that Paul isn't someone who is characterized by sloppy writing or sloppy thinking. You can make a pretty good case for Paul being one of the best educated people in the history of the world. A Roman citizen with all that goes into that, educated under the supreme rabbis of the time, who are still quoted, by the way, now. Paul was a student of Gamaliel, who is still referenced in Hebrew studies today by current Hebrew scholars. When Paul uses words, they're very, very carefully chosen. And Paul didn't say that because of Christ's coming, we receive some interesting benefits. He didn't say that we get to pray in a new way. He says that we receive the full rights of children. Dropping down a couple of verses, you are no longer a slave, but a child. And since you are a child, God has made you also an heir. We are equivalent to the human side of the incarnation. It goes in both directions. Christ came to earth to become like us, so that we might become like him. Not in his divinity, that's not part of the conversation. But Christ came that we might become like him in the same way that he is a child of God. We have the same relationship with God that Jesus did when he was on earth. Think about that for a moment. Jesus came to do all kinds of things. He knew from the beginning that he was going to take the weight of the sin of the world upon himself, that he was going to deal with that in a way that would take care of it forever. But he also came that we might be as equal to him in his humanness as we could be. We have the same relationship to God that Jesus did when he was on earth. For those of us who have grown up in the church and who have been praying, it seems, all of our life, from grace before meals to praying in public to reading prayers to all the rest of it, and we begin prayers like the Lord's Prayer with Our Father. We frequently begin prayers with Heavenly Father. We say these things, and I sometimes wonder if we've lost sight of the fact of what that actually means. But it's not the equivalent of ringing a doorbell to make God listen. It's an opportunity for us to be reminded of the relationship that we have with God through Jesus is the same as the relationship that Jesus has with God. We're not one step removed. Paul doesn't say, you are no longer a slave, but now you're a granddaughter or a grandson. Wonderful as those are. He says, no, you are a daughter, you are a son, you are a child. In the same way that Jesus is, so are you. There's nothing between you and God, any more than there's any barrier between your children and yourself and you and your parents. The connection is as close as it can be and as real as it can be. With the birth of Jesus came the opportunity for all of us to become children just as Jesus is. And this Christmas season, that struck me in a new way. I said, if this is something that you're kind of wondering, why is he even talking about this? Doesn't everybody know that? Well, I knew it, but I didn't know it. I knew it in one way, but it hadn't crossed my mind to think of it, that Jesus came that we might be like him, even as he came that he might be like us. We're not elevated into the Trinity. We're not elevated into the Godhead in any way, shape, or form. But we are elevated into the first generation family of God, as children of God, just as Jesus was. When he came so long ago to be born as a child, he started something new. And I thought I knew what it was. And I realized that there's so much more to this relationship than I ever thought. Just like every relationship, there's nuances and facets that are there for us to see in new ways. And this is one that struck me this year. That Jesus came not that there would be one child of God on earth, but that there would be millions, millions and millions of women and men who have moved into that relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit to be a child of God, just as Jesus was. So when we pray and we think of praying to our Heavenly Father, maybe we can remove a little bit of the distance that we sometimes feel there. When we remember that when it comes to God and his children, Jesus is just an older brother. We're all in the same family.